evening. Welcome to our service tonight. Let's take our hymn books, please. 107. And let's stand together as we sing, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. 107. 107.
God rest you merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. From Satan's power when we were gone astray, oh tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh tidings of comfort and joy.
Glad you're saved?
Yes.
Amen. We're glad you're here tonight. Merry Christmas. We'll have Pastor McDonald come and open our service. Okay, tonight, how many people do we have here that are visitors? You're just visiting with us tonight. Anybody? First-time visitors? One? Welcome. Good to have you here. Good to have you here. How many people here are just old? Okay, I got to get a response out of them. Welcome, though. Really good to have you here. I forgot this morning, and I was reminded by the Sims that I went on with birthdays and everything else, and I said Casey and Brother Spong had a birthday on December 25th on Christmas, and then I was reminded that it was somebody else's birthday, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know he was born on that day, but that's the day we celebrate it. How could I forget the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And I get all off on that. Remember, this is the reason for the season. It's Jesus Christ. What an awesome gift God has given us. We should be rejoicing in it. Brother Fred, if you'd pray for tonight's service and for the offering.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come tonight, Lord. We thank you for that special gift that only you can give in salvation. I just pray, Lord, for the one here tonight who doesn't have that gift. I just pray that tonight they might receive that. All of you in glory, they come to come and take us all. Do us now, bless us, offer, just be honored and glorified.
Amen.
Just a couple things before we sing another song tonight. We're going to take some favorites later on, so be thinking some of the things you'd like to sing tonight. We're just going to have a good time together in the house of the Lord. I want to mention a couple prayer requests before we go. Maybe we'll just take some time to pray as well. Remember Brother Tom Tyrrell, of course, and he's been struggling with cancer and had a rough week, and so let's remember him this week in your prayers. Also, don't forget Rick Engel had back surgery just the other day and is recovering. Do you know when he'll come home? You don't know yet. Oh, Mrs. Engel's here tonight. Okay, it's tough to see with these lights, so you don't know when he'll come home yet. Is he feeling better? He's coming along. Good. So he's still in Hamilton, though. All right, so let's continue to pray for Rick Engel. And then also, I just got an email just before the service started. Our missionaries in Mexico, the Klassen family, Will and Cindy Klassen, she's 5 months pregnant and felt like something was wrong today, went to the hospital, and the baby has died. And so they have their Christmas program tonight. They're still going to church. He's going to preach that. And then tomorrow they're going to have to remove the baby. And so they're having a rough go of it today. So let's remember them in prayer. I know they'd appreciate that. So Brother Baker, would you stand and lead us in a word of prayer tonight and pray for these needs? Are there any other needs we should mention? I don't want to leave anything out. I'm sorry. Oh, right. I'm sorry. I meant to mention that as well this time. Janet McPherson's mother passed away this morning, and she got home from church and found out. And so they're in at home tonight. We went over to see them this afternoon. And so Janet's biggest concern is her mother never made a profession of faith. And so that's a different type of grief, isn't it? If you know they're with the Lord, but she doesn't have that assurance. So let's pray for the McPhersons tonight. They're thinking the funeral will be next Saturday in Toronto area. All right. Was there anybody else? I'm sorry.
My nephew had back surgery on Thursday, and he's 18 years old, last year of school, and it's going to be quite a long road for him. They had to take him through physical therapy before he got his back broken.
Okay.
To get the surgery done, because if he moves the wrong way, it's going to break him up again.
Your nephew?
Michael.
Donna's nephew, Michael, had back surgery last year of school, and it's a long recovery, so let's pray for him. Anybody else tonight? All right, Brother Baker, go ahead.
Father, we're grateful we can come before you, Lord, in prayer with requests of our needs, Lord. Those with health issues, with back problems, the people, and Donna's family member. Father, we pray that you heal your backs, Lord. We need our bodies, Lord, to be able to get around, and just pray that you'll heal. Think of the Klassens, Lord, and their loss, and all do, and just pray with that family, Lord, as they work in service to you, that Lord, you'll take care of her medical needs tomorrow, and that you'll be ever close to them and show your presence in their lives. Pray for Tiro and just his situation there, and others, Lord, that were mentioned just a few moments ago. Father, we just do look to you and ask that you'll heal our bodies. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's sing our hymn again, please. Number 105. 105. Go up on the mountain.
Thank you.
Let's take our hymn books again, please. 101. Let's stand as the choir joins us in our seats. 101. Ring the bells, ring the bells. Let the world know. Let's stand together as we sing 101. You may be seated.
She rocked her tiny baby to warm him from the cold. Hardly what she pictured in the prophecies of old. It seemed almost impossible to think it could be true. But as she pondered in her heart, she knew this was heaven's child. This was heaven's child. In an earthen stable, wrapped in glory meek and mild, Joseph wept with wonder as Mary sweetly smiled, because they knew this was heaven's child.
The angels must have missed him as they sang him to sleep, but they marveled at the promises this baby came to keep. His father must have felt at once great sadness and great joy as he watched his little baby boy. This was heaven's child. This was heaven's child.
Let's have a favorite tonight. He's got a favorite song he'd like to sing. After we sing one, we'll take a couple testimonies. God's been working in your heart and life. It'd be good to hear about that. Who's got a favorite? I'm sorry. Yes, Daniel. 79. All right. You can remain seated and just relax tonight. Enjoy the music. Thou didst leave thy throne. Number 79. Let's sing the first and the last verse. 79.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was
testimonies tonight. God's been working. We'd like to hear about it and encourages one another. All right, who'd go first? Somebody raise your hand. I'm having trouble seeing tonight, so if you do raise your hand, Pastor McDonald's going to have to pick you out.
I've only been back for a few weeks. I was originally saved here back in the late 70s. But I have a praise about somewhere where I come from, relative through my ex-husband. Young girl that I've been praying for a long time, Jewish, an exotic dancer, and a lesbian. And she got saved today.
Amen.
And baptized in church.
Amen.
And I think that's a testimony to a remnant, don't you?
Amen. It's good. Anybody else? All right.
I just want to thank my God and Savior for the work He's done in our life, my family, and I just want the world to know, and especially my church family, that God's been a real blessing to me, and I can't believe how merciful and gracious He is to myself personally, and been walking with the Lord and enjoying it very much so, and through the good times and bad times, and He's just been very real in my life and my family's life. And I just, one of the ways I've been teaching a Sunday school class to praise God is we need to tell others about what God is doing in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever we get a chance, within the hallways here or wherever you can, let people know how God's working in your life. And that's why I just want to say thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, let's have another favorite. Favorite song. Yes. 475. If you give us the title, it gets the fellows looking it up quicker. Make Me a Blessing. 475. 475. Make Me a Blessing. Sing the first and the last.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine and darkness in light, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing. Out of my life, make me a shine.
Another testimony. Anybody have a testimony? Are you watching, Pastor McDonald? Because I get right back here.
You all have been praying for Isaac, and over the past 3 years or whatever, many of you have asked, is he going to walk? Is he going to walk? And this week, at physio, they set up an appointment for him to go January 16th, and he gets casted for orthotics for a foot and ankle brace. And this, they're going to give him a couple months to see if that will help him, if that's enough. And then if not, this spring he gets a walker. And so soon you'll see him buzzing around the halls here, I hope, Lord willing. So thank
Amen.
You for your prayers.
Amen. It's good. Keep praying. Anybody else? Over here.
My wife and I were able to go to a wedding this past weekend of someone I went to school with, and a lot of our college friends were all there, and so I'm just thankful to the Lord that He uses sinners like myself and giving me the opportunity to work here in the church. And then as I was talking with the other guys from the college, just all these young guys, and I know their testimony, they know my testimony, but just it was an awesome reminder that as they're in their different ministries and I'm working here, it's just awesome to know that God uses us, and His grace and mercy lets us, gives us the ability to serve Him. So I'm thankful for that.
Amen. Anybody else? All right, let's have another favorite. One more favorite. Yeah, Scott.
324.
Three. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. That's a good one. 324.
Thank you.
Daniel Smith. There he is. All right. He has a song ready for us tonight. Daniel, you come and sing. Please turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to do something a little different tonight, if you'll humor me for one Sunday. I'm just going to give you a 12 to 15 minute message. We're going to have our invitation, and then I want to talk to you about something that is going on in our government that is extremely dangerous. I know it's Christmas Sunday. I had a meeting this week with Mr. Toby Baird about this issue. And I really feel it's important that we as Christians get on it as quickly as we possibly can, get praying about it. And so I want to take some time tonight and do that if we could. I don't know about you, but I believe that when we gather together as God's people, we ought to make a difference in our community as well and in our society. And we ought to be protecting the values that we hold dear. And so I don't feel like that's inappropriate to take part of our service tonight to do that, but we'll do that at the end of our time together. Luke chapter 2. We're just going to look at one verse, and I want to make a few comments. I'm going to call it Reminders for Christmas Week. Reminders for Christmas Week. The Bible says in verse 20, "And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for the wonderful opportunity we have as Canadians to gather together freely and worship and praise your name. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand that those freedoms are being eroded. And Lord, it's not always where we are, it's where something's headed that we need to be concerned about. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, this evening to spend some time understanding how important it is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, not just this week, but always, to glorify and praise his name. Father, fill me with thy spirit. I need your help. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It was interesting to me a couple weeks ago that Mrs. Wood gave a testimony about a little girl, I believe it was a little girl, that never knew what a Bible was. Was it a little girl, Mrs. Wood? And how old would you say she was? About 9 years old. It's an incredible thought that we live in Canada and somebody doesn't know what a Bible is. And really that falls upon us, doesn't it? It is our job to get the Word of God out. When I was a child, there were Bibles in every classroom. There was enough of them on the shelf in almost every classroom that every student could have one if they needed it. They were never opened. They were never used. There was a lot of ignorance surrounding the Bible. I remember one time a teacher getting up and talking, bad-mouthing the Bible and saying that certain things were left out of the Bible. One of the things he said was, well, the book of Ruth is not in the Bible. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, the book of Ruth is in the Bible. He says, no, it's not. I said, well, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. And he got very angry and rebuked me for publicly embarrassing him. The truth was, is he embarrassed himself with the lack of knowledge of God's Word. We really are a blessed people that we can live in Canada. And I was so excited last night, to be honest with you. And the highlight of the hockey game for me was that everybody sang, God keep our land. Nobody was embarrassed. Nobody got angry. That Canadians still want to sing those words. And it tells me that the door is still open. But I believe it's closing rapidly. You know, we are blessed because we have heard about the Christ child. That we have the opportunity to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The thing is, friends, and let's be honest with ourselves tonight, we are taking for granted those things that we have heard and seen. It has become commonplace to us. Christmas is just another holiday for family. I'm not against that. I enjoy getting together with family. I enjoy the turkey dinner and the raspberry pie and all those things that are going on. And I enjoy all those things. But listen, let's not forget that Jesus Christ is the preeminent one. Not the prominent one. The Bible says let him have preeminence. You know what the difference is? A prominent one is one of many. You might say that Wayne Gretzky or today is Sidney Crosby is a prominent hockey player. That means he's one of the best. There are several players that are very good. But Jesus Christ is the preeminent one, which means he is the one and only. There's nobody that can compare to Jesus Christ. There's no argument to be made. You might make the argument last night. There was all kinds of guys making arguments in the stands. We had some Philadelphia Flyers fans right beside us. And they say, our team is the best. And Maple Leaf fans would chant back, no, our team is the best. And somebody would say, well, Sidney Crosby's the best player. And others would say, no, Claude Giroux from Philadelphia is the best player. And they start having these arguments and they have all kinds of their own merits. But listen, nobody compares to Jesus. There's no argument to be made. He's the winner, hands down. And as we hear and see these things, we should understand that like the shepherds, there's a way that we should respond to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's two words I want you to notice. First of all, the shepherds returned, the Bible says, glorifying. Glorifying the Lord. That word glorify first means to hold in honor. To hold in honor. This word is, it probably wouldn't surprise you to understand this, is an athletic term. Paul often would use athletic type things in the Bible. And back then, I suppose the Olympics or the races that we know as the Olympics today were already going on, and things were happening like that. And there was a Bema seat, which was the judgment seat. And we understand that in a Christian term, but the Bema seat was the place of reward. This word here is talking about honoring somebody who finishes first. I don't know if you know this, but when you run a race, we live in a day and age where we give a ribbon to every kid, don't we? You know, the kid that can't run, the kid that, you know, we want to give a participation ribbon. And I suppose when they're little, that's okay. But I don't know about you, but I'm a bit competitive, and I like keeping score, and I like to win. When I'm playing my kids in board games, I don't let them win. I beat them. I try to. I used to play games with Brendan, and we'd play baseball on his video game. And the day he was able to beat me, I just didn't play anymore. I want to win. I want to be first place. But you know, you see these runners. We had a fellow in our church that was a marathon runner. His name was Moses. He was from Kenya. And he would run races, and he would have to do it twice a year, and because that's how his body would peak every 6 months. And he ran in the Niagara Marathon, and he won the Niagara Marathon. Then he'd go to the Bahamas every year, and he'd win the Bahaman Marathon every year. And I said to him, I said, have you ever gone in the New York Marathon? He says, no. I said, have you ever gone in the Boston Marathon? Those are big marathons. He says, no. I said, why not? He says, well, because in the New York Marathon, I'd finish fourth, and in the Boston Marathon, I'd finish third. I said, how could you possibly know that? He says, because I know the top five runners in the world, and I know what races they go in. And he says, they go in those races. And he says, it's not worth it to me. I have to finish first to make enough money to take care of my family. You see, only first place gets the honor in a race. That's what this word means. This word glorify means to hold in honor. In other words, there's only one person that is worthy of praise. There's only one person that we are to glorify, that we are to hold in honor. We don't think about second place or third place or fourth place. Those are secondary positions. Those are losing positions. Only Jesus Christ is worthy of honor. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, thou art worthy to receive power and glory and honor, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God is worthy of glory. The word glorify doesn't just mean to hold in honor. It means to render something excellent. In other words, we need to make the decision in our mind. It is our decision, our choice to say, Jesus Christ is excellent. Let me put it this way. What the world thinks of Jesus Christ is how you will portray Him. When the world looks at you, they see Jesus. It has to do with your testimony. These shepherds returned. The Bible says they were praising and glorifying and praising God. If you look up a couple of verses, the Bible says in verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They told everybody. There was no mistaking what they thought of the Christ child. They were glorifying Him by rendering Him excellent. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember, I'm thinking about this little guy, Logan, that was just born. Brother and Mrs. Claver haven't got to meet him yet. They're still in the hospital, and they're hoping maybe in the next couple of days he'll be home and they'll get to hold him. And I said to Mr. Claver, I said, who gets to hold him first? And he went, I said, you're a smart man right there. I know that Paul, we went over to spend some time with Paul and Janet this afternoon. Of course, she lost her mom, and they're looking forward to their granddaughter coming this week. She's 2 months old. And I said to Paul, I said, you think you'll get to hold her at all? And Janet says, they're bringing the dog. He can play with him. She's not putting that baby down. I mean, there's a joy in a child, isn't there? You want to tell everybody. And I remember when Rob and Deb had Liam. That was the best baby ever born as far as they were concerned. I remember when Jim and Joanne had their first grandson. They didn't stop smiling for a month. I don't know if they have stopped smiling. That's the greatest little guy that ever lived. There was no mistaking when the shepherds met Jesus, this was the greatest baby ever born. And they told everybody. That's what the word glorify means, to render something excellent. There was no mistaking what they thought of the Christ child. What does the world think of the Christ child based on your testimony of Him? Of how you represent Him? The third meaning of the word glorify is to cause the dignity and worth of something or someone to become manifest and acknowledged. That is the exact opposite of what the world is doing to Christ. That's the exact opposite. They don't want Him acknowledged. They don't want Him made manifest. They don't want you to pray in His name. Friend, that's all the more reason we need to glorify Jesus and lift up His name and make Him known among the heathen and among the world. We need to give Him dignity and worth by magnifying His name. And friends, look at the second word as we see it in the Scripture. And the shepherds return glorifying and praising. Now, here's the thing. You cannot praise Jesus until you first glorify Him. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Are they not two different things? Yes, they are. But to glorify is to bring Him up to the proper level. To bring Him up in His majesty, to render Him excellent, to have the right opinion of Him. And when you have the right opinion of Him, then and only then can you properly praise Him. If somebody has a low opinion of Christ, they ought not be singing His praises. Sometimes we come to church and we're angry with God. Something has happened in our lives and we're bitter against the Lord and we think our prayers aren't being answered and God doesn't care. We can't praise God like that. But when we have the proper attitude. This morning I was just listening. How many of you remember the song that Mark Bowman used to sing about Job? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a great song. He had that whole story, that whole Bible story in that song. Just a great ballad about the story of Job. And I got to think, you know, that ought to be our attitude. I went up to Mike and Mary Armchuk the day their daughter died of cancer. And I went into the nursing home to see them. And I said, Brother Mike, how you doing? And he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, when we glorify Him properly, then we can praise Him. When we realize that He is all-powerful, almighty, omnipotent God, that He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and that God works all these things that we find hurtful and painful in our lives, that He works them all together for good, then we can praise Him. The Bible says they praised Him. The word means to extol, to lift up, to sing praises. But here's the most important thing. It's the outward act of an inward feeling. How do you feel about the Lord? If you are glorifying Him in your life, do you know that you have the Spirit of God within you? And when you glorify the Lord and you are doing the right things in your life and you're reading your Bible and you're praying and you're worshiping the Lord like you ought to, that Spirit gets fed and He gets excited and then He helps you praise God. The Bible says in John chapter 16, He will testify of Me. That was what Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do. He will glorify the Father. He will testify of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's job in your life is to draw you closer to God. And that happens when we praise Him. Listen, we ought not have empty praise. You know, there's sometimes you talk to somebody and they'll say, well, you know, amen, praise the Lord. But praise the Lord's become a catchphrase. I remember in Bible college, guys were kind of joking with the teacher and they'd say amen all the time. Amen. Every time the teacher said anything, amen, amen. Finally, the teacher turned around one day and said, if you say amen one more time, I'm going to take an offering. That shut him up. He says, you guys are just flippantly using that word. You're flippantly saying praise the Lord to everything. He says, you don't really mean it at all. It's not coming from your heart. It's coming from a place of sarcasm. And a mocking spirit. And God is not honored. But when our hearts are in the right place and we want to glorify God and hold Him in esteem and honor and render Him excellent, then we can praise the Lord. Praise comes from the proper positioning of Jesus Christ. The exalting of Jesus Christ. The magnifying of Jesus Christ in our lives. And then and only then can we properly and truly praise Him. The Bible says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. And there was a reason for it. For all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Can I tell you this? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you're not going to be a people of the Word, you'll never glorify God in your life. He will never have the proper place in your life. You'll have a small God. But when you read in the Bible the miracles and the power of God, he'll begin to grow in stature. Then and only then will you properly praise Him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes tonight. And let this just be a reminder this week of how we are to glorify and praise our Lord. Make Him known. You have an opportunity. Some of you will be with unsaved family. Some of you will get together with friends that need the Lord. What will they think of Jesus because of how you glorify Him and how you praise Him? Will it be real? Piano is going to begin to play. I would encourage you to spend some time in prayer and consider how we can properly exalt the Lord Jesus Christ this week. Not just this week. Let this be a foundation, how it can build in our lives. Let's stand tonight, and if God spoke to your heart, this altar is open. Are we giving God glory for everything? Let everything that hath breath give Him praise. Brother Baker, why don't you start singing that song? If you'd like to sing a song with him, praise the Lord tonight. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. The altar's open if you'd like to come.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful.
You may be seated. Some are still praying, so we'll just give them a moment. All right. I just wanted to share with you some concerns that I have with our government right now. Something that's going on. I'm sure some of you have heard of it. As you know, Kathleen Wynne is the Premier of Ontario. She is openly homosexual. More than that, though, she is an activist. But the problem is her activism is really now desperately damaging our children. And as you know, back in 2010, she was the Minister of Education, and her and the Deputy Minister of Education, a fellow by the name of Benjamin Levin, developed a curriculum for sexual education in our schools. And I can't even repeat some of the stuff she wants to teach our children. I wouldn't speak about this stuff with another adult. It is vile and perverted. She wants to start teaching it to our children at 8 years old. This is coming into effect in September of 2015, just next year. And so I called or emailed Toby Barrett, and I asked if I could meet with him. There's a fellow from Leamington, a member of provincial parliament by the name of Monty McNaughton. And I should give you, I've got some contact information for you tonight. I don't have his. I should give it to you. Monty McNaughton is a professed Christian, and he is spearheading the effort to stop this nonsense. And so I would encourage you. I wrote him a letter this week to let him know that we'd be praying for him and encouraging and holding him up before the Lord. If you could encourage him in some way, please do that. And so I talked to Toby Baird. We met this week and we talked about this. And I noticed that in the debates, Toby Baird was sitting right behind Mr. McNaughton and applauding him and supporting him and leaning forward and giving him some encouragement from time to time. When I talked to Mr. Baird, I said, I've noticed in the past you normally sit over further. And he said, yes, he says, that day, he says, I felt like I needed to get behind him and support him. So I got right behind him. And I praise the Lord for that. And I'm thankful for that. I talked to Mr. Barrett about his spiritual condition a little bit. We got to talk about the Lord. He's a member of St. James Anglican Church in Port Dover. I don't believe he knows the Lord for all intents and purposes. We talked a little bit about that. And I said, at the end of our meeting, I said, is there anything we could do for you? He said this. He said, invite me to anything you have going on. He says, I never get to go to church anymore. He says, when we're in session, I'm in Toronto from Monday to Friday, and on Saturday and Sunday, I have to go to every social function. I'm expected to be there. And he says, so there's all kinds of things going on every weekend that I have to go to, and I never get to church anymore. He says, if you invite me to church, then it's one of my things. I got to go to church. He says, and I'd love to come. And I said, well, fantastic. Next time we got something going on, you're going to get a call. And he said, I appreciate that. So that's a good open door, and we'll maybe get to share the gospel a little bit further with him. But through our conversation, I asked him, I said, I would like to tell our church what is the best way we can get Kathleen Wynne's attention. In 2010, when she tried to pass this new curriculum, it got defeated in 3 days. Dalton McGuinty put a stop to it because he was disgusted by it. And can you imagine? And back then, there was such a public outburst about it that it came to a stop. Mr. Barrett has told me there's been nearly no opposition this time. Now, Monty McNaughton, since he has spearheaded this movement and trying to get it stopped, he is getting lots of emails, lots of calls, lots of letters. They're all going to him. Mr. Barrett says that's not enough. He says what we need, he says we need everybody to get writing Kathleen Wynne. Now, listen to me when I say this. I'll give you her address tonight. We are not to send a form letter. He says, you can't print off a letter and have everybody sign it and mail it in. He says, don't do one letter and have it signed as a petition. He says, because everybody knows that's one person wrote it. And he says, it shows very little concern. He says, everybody needs to write their own letter. Everybody needs to write their own email. He said, use social media. If you're on Facebook and somebody says something about it, make sure you put, we are against this. We do not want this in our schools. We do not want our children learning this stuff. You say, well, I don't have a kid in the public school. Can you imagine society 25 years from now with a bunch of messed up kids? They are telling 8-year-olds, you may be born a boy or a girl, but that's just a social construct. Don't believe it. You are whatever you want to be. My Bible says that if we offend one of these little ones, it were better that a millstone were hung around our neck and we were thrown into the sea. I wonder how many children will just question, well, what am I then? And start experimenting with the other. I can't even repeat some of the things that she is suggesting we teach 8-year-olds. And it's progressive, and it goes right through from age 8 right through 13. Here's the thing. When she was the education minister in 2010, her deputy education minister was a fellow by the name of Benjamin Levine. He developed the material. His name is on the curriculum. He is in court today charged with 7 cases of distributing child pornography. That is who wrote this curriculum. I don't know about you, but even if I believed in the stuff, I'd say, I don't want his name on it. That's not going to be the guy that teaches our kids. And so there's a real disconnect, a real problem here. The conservatives are disgusted by it. And I want to encourage you tonight to take some time and write some letters. I have the letter here for Kathleen Wynne, her address, her fax number. Mr. Barrett says you can fax, you can write letters, you can email. The email address is there. You can, and don't be expected, you won't get much back except maybe a form letter or an automated response from an email. Put it on social media, do whatever you can. He says and here's the thing, he says, move quickly. He says, the problem is, he says, I don't even believe they're going to let us vote on it. She's just going to go ahead and do it. There's not going to be any vote. Now you say, do they not ask parents about this? They have started they're doing what they call a consultation with the school boards. And the principal is handpicking one parent from each school. Handpicking. That means if the principal is in agreement with it, they'll just pick the person that's in agreement with them. It's not random. It's not. And so there's one parent from each school being consulted. What do you think about this curriculum? And that parent is handpicked. No school is allowed to opt out of it. If the principal says this is against my beliefs, if the health teacher says I'm not teaching this garbage, doesn't matter, they'll likely be fired. They are not allowed to opt out of it. And so that's where we are as a society. And so I want to encourage you tonight to write some letters. We have these. Pastor McDonald's going to start handing those out. And if you would take those with you, we're going to take a moment and have a word of prayer. Is there any questions tonight? I want to make sure I spent about an hour and a half with Mr. Barrett and asking questions. And I tried to summarize it for you tonight. I'm thankful that he's against it as our representative in Parliament. I think that probably everybody here falls in the riding of Haldeman Norfolk. We have folks from Dunville. Is Mr. Barrett your MP? All right. We have some from Brantford, but you also have a Conservative MP. And so you could write to him. I guess Tilsonburg's a little bit out. Your Oxford, is your MP Conservative? Yes. Who's your MP? Ernie Hardman. Okay. Good. So take some time. We can get those addresses. If you don't know where your MP is, there is a website that we can get those addresses for you. But please take one of those, and would you write your MP, Toby Barrett, encourage him in the fight. Tell him that you are against this curriculum. If you are, I'm sure you are. I hope you are. I can't imagine why you'd be for it. And also, certainly, write Kathleen Wynn. They need to know as many people are against this as possible. You know that I don't do political wrangling very often, I don't believe, but I believe that this tears at the very fabric of our society. And it is absolutely vile, some of the things. Here's the honest truth. If I were to read some of the things that they want to discuss with eight-year-olds, some of you would honestly say, I have no clue what that even is. It's that vile. You'd say, praise God that you have some innocence. Amen. And so we need to be very careful about this. All right. So let's have a word of prayer and ask God to help in this fight. We know that he is in control of all things. Pastor McDonald, you're on your feet. Why don't you lead us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you again for an opportunity to make a stand for you, Lord. We know that you are the great creator. We know that you created us in a certain way. And Father, forgive us, Lord, when we try to go against your will. So, Father, we do pray for the young people in our country. We pray especially for the province of Ontario as this affects them directly. We pray for our Premier, Lord, that you would save her soul, that you would give her a new mind and a new mindset. And, Father, we know that this is always an uphill battle, but we know that we have the Holy Spirit on our side. We just pray that the Holy Spirit would move amongst God's people and help us to do as the pastor is directing us, Lord. Help us to make a noise. Help us to make a noise for you, Lord, and to stand on what you have created us to be. And Father, again, we also pray that you be with the institution. We pray for the school system. We pray for the principals, the teachers, Lord. We know that there are Christians up there amongst them, Lord, and we just pray that you start with the Christians and that may this spread and may there be a sensibility amongst us, Lord, and help us to put away the foolishness and the wickedness that's going across our land. And so, Father, we put our trust in you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. You are dismissed. Fellowship as long as you like.